I'm going to move on then. Tonight, there are no board commission committee reports. There's nothing on the consent agenda. No report of other officers. And that moves me on to the mayor's report, which is fairly short tonight. I want to talk about the Little Norway celebration for this year. Thank you to the Petersburg Chamber of Commerce and Little Norway Festival Planning Committee for organizing another successful, fun-filled Little Norway celebration. The event showcased Petersburg's unique history and community spirit and was enjoyed by residents and visitors alike. Well done to everyone. And I had a chance to talk to our ambassador from Norway, and I really think that after that conversation, maintaining the culture of this community is extremely important. We had quite a conversation, and I appreciate everybody who helped bring that forward and keeps that going. Second item on the agenda is high school graduation. Congratulations to the class of 2026, who will be graduating on June 1st. We celebrate your accomplishments and wish you every success ahead. Employee recognition here. Congratulations to David Mazzella for completing his 8,000-hour lineman apprenticeship and achieving journeyman-level lineman status, effective May 14th, 2026. I have to tell you, this is a milestone reflecting years of dedication, extensive training, and a strong commitment, safety, and service to our community. Thank you, David. Much appreciated. And with that, I'll turn it over to the manager. And
thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have a report today, but I can answer any questions if the Assembly has any for the moment.
Okay. Member Mucci?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a brief update on where we are with the Title Network contract, please.
Through the mayor. Our attorney and I got a commitment from them on all the issues that we had with sovereign immunity being waived. Title has agreed. We've gotten the signature of the Tlingit and Haida president, and the contract should be in front of the Assembly at the next meeting.
Thank you. Any other questions for the manager? If not, I'll move on to unfinished business. First item under unfinished business is Ordinance 2026-06, an ordinance amending Petersburg Municipal Code Title 20, entitled Watershed Management, to update language and to account for borough incorporation. And this is the second reading. If approved, this ordinance would update and codify existing watershed management regulations into the borough code, reflect borough formation, and continue protections for the City Creek and Cabin Creek water supply watersheds to safeguard water quality and quantity for Service Area 1. Do I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2026-06?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Been moved by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Schwartz. Discussion. Essentially what this does for the public is simply to change it from the old city code to the borough code, and it does add a little bit in relation to hunting and what's allowed, what isn't allowed, but it's pretty much not much change in it. With that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
That ordinance passes 7-0. Moving on to the second item on unfinished business. An ordinance of 2026-07, an ordinance amending Petersburg Municipal Code Chapter 4.80 to adjust the marine passenger fee, which increased the borough costs associated with services to and infrastructure for marine passenger vessels and their passengers. And again, this is a second reading. Do I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2026-07?
So moved.
Second.
Go ahead.
Okay. Moved by Member Valentine. I think Member Martin over here was...
Okay.
I'll move on. Questions or comments from the Assembly? Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just for the folks at home, can somebody explain to me how much a rough number that we get per year from this fee based on our $5 a head fee?
I'll pass that back to the finance director.
For the mayor, currently we receive about $50,000 a year from this, and so this would be approximately another $30,000.
Thank you very much.
Other questions? Okay, would the clerk please call the roll?
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Thank you. And that ordinance passes 7-0. Moving on to the next ordinance is Ordinance 2026-08, an ordinance updating Chapter 14.16 of the Municipal Code entitled Electric Utility. This is the second reading also. If approved, this ordinance will update electric utility rates and charges for fiscal year 2027 to ensure Petersburg Municipal Power and Light can fully cover operating expenses, inflation, capital needs, reserve requirements, and debt cover obligations, while maintaining reliable electric service and codifying the revised rate and fees in the Municipal Code. A memo from Director Hegerman is attached. Ordinance 2026-08 was unanimously approved in its first reading. Do I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2026-08?
So moved. Second.
Moved by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Valentine. Discussion. With that, I'm going to go back to Steve Harbor, who's going to be our new utility director here. Would you talk for a minute about the projects coming up that this supports and why the need for it?
So we're looking at a BESS system to give us some grid stability. This will fund a study for that. Our transformer here in downtown is a very unique unicorn, and we're holding a lot of money in reserve for it, which we don't think is enough to replace it. So we're looking at other options that are going to reduce that. This year we have a lot of regulatory commitments and some inspections and some studies that we have to do to be compliant with FERC. And that's the main drivers and what we're doing there. But then overall, if you look at the price of just three sectors in the utility world, you can look at the transmission and transformers, and then look at wire and look at poles. In the last 5 years, each of those sectors have gone up between 54% and 74%, and that's even prior to the surcharges to get it from Seattle to here. And then we see that those same increases in insurance for the vehicles, maintenance on the vehicles, and every corner you look at, the costs are outpacing the inflation in other sectors. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, part of it. Does that also bring online the new, allow us to bring the new generator online?
It does not. Okay. We'll be presenting an ordinance to seek a revenue bond to complete that project. We're about $2.5 million, maybe three short. When Director Hagerman first was getting the initial estimates, it was in the neighborhood of 5.4, and then the 4 years since that estimate, that doubled. If that gives you any reflection upon all our costs going up that way.
Thank you. Other questions, Mr. Harper? Okay, Member Mucci?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this is going to be a 4% rate adjustment for 2027. Are we looking at additional rate adjustments in the next 4 or 5 years? And I'm looking at this Wentworth or whoever, whatever the name is. Is that part of this 4% rate increase up into 2035?
That is correct. We only went for a one-year increase because between the mill out on, it's my street, why can't I think of the name, but Paul's Creek, and the potential revenue from the data center, we didn't want to overcharge right now and commit to something that we didn't need.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions from the assembly?
Comment?
Well, it just reminds me of a situation. I heard a conversation the other day, and I said, well, with these utility rates, well, we're all in the same boat. And I said it myself. The hell we are. We're in the same storm. Different boats. Everybody's facing inflation. And we're in different boats, but it's the same storm. And it's a storm. Thanks.
Thank you. Member Martin?
Is it, Steve, does it seem like the data center boom is affecting these, some of these transmission costs, transformers and stuff?
I would say there's a good possibility of it. Supply and demand. If everybody's building giant transmission lines and stuff down south and all over the world, it's definitely affecting our pockets. So it'd be nice to get some of that money back.
Member Mucci?
Yeah, thank you. One more question. Can you explain what the BESS system is?
So that is a battery energy storage system. And what it would do is it would be out at the hydro. It'd be approximately, we haven't done the study yet, but about a meg of power. And what it would last for about 15 to 30 minutes. It would help us storm the brownouts that we get when something happens in Ketchikan or Wrangell, and we have that hit us. And then the secondary thing it can do for us is if we have a landslide between here and there, we'd be able to run the hydro for the customers on the other side of that landslide. We currently cannot run the hydro off grid, and the battery would give it a voltage and cycle reference.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the Member Martin?
More about that system. Is that, would that be cited by the hydro, the Crystal Lake powerhouse there? Or?
I believe that's what the study would show. The good thing about that system, right now there's a lot of federal and state money available for it. So I think it, if that proves feasible, we could probably get a good portion of that paid by grants.
And what, I'm curious what kind of batteries that would use. I know there's been an issue about the data center battery backup system. What's going on with the BESS system?
So I don't have an answer for that yet because we haven't done the study, but I imagine they'll have a recommendation and then we can talk about it then. I mean, I know they use lead in some spots and others that lithium phosphate, but until we have the study and a recommendation, I won't be able to answer that.
Any other questions, Mr. Harper? Okay, with that, would the clerk please call the roll on ordinance 2026-08?
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Martin? Yes. Vice Mayor Stanton Greger?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. And the ordinance 2026-08 on the electric utility passes unanimously. Moving on to the last item under unfinished business is ordinance 2026-09, an ordinance of Petersburg Borough adopting the budget for fiscal year July 1st, 2026 through June 30th, 2027. This is the second reading. And on the ordinance 2026-09 was unanimously approved in its first reading. If approved, this ordinance would adopt the fiscal year 2027 operating budget for the Petersburg Borough. Do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2026-09?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Member Mucci, second by Member Valentine. And with that, I'm going to go back to the finance director here. Do you have an overview or anything you would like to add to that, particularly related to, you know, increases in base rates, anything that you want to add?
I would like to say that the sales tax revenue in this budget does not include much of an increase for the senior exemption that was removed this last year, just because we're not quite sure how it's going to affect sales tax. And then, of course, the sales tax cap that you will see in the first reading today will that will be voted on this fall. So that, of course, isn't in the budget. With some of these additional revenues that could really help us keep property taxes down and have some money in the future to help with the school and things that are increasing so much. The budget work session that we did about a month ago is on the borough's website. If anyone wants to see that, they can watch that. There's a lot of good information there. I don't know, it's kind of a loaded question. Sorry, there's a lot of information in this
budget. There's a lot of information. And as I said today on the radio, I think that our finance director did a pretty credible job of making things balance. Are there other questions for? Okay, Member Martin?
Yeah. I just want to appeal to the public. I'm new at this, but I thought I'd be getting a lot more input from the public. Everybody, I hear it every day, the borough spends too much, and we didn't have anyone in the public hearing helping us spend less. And, you know, if you got ideas, don't be afraid to come forth. There's a lot of homework for us to do, but it is accessible to us, and I'm just surprised I'm not getting more input, because I look at things like, you know, I don't know, is that reasonable? Is that unreasonable? It looked reasonable to me. I know it's expensive, but we need some input from the public. We're not just going to start slashing just to slash. We got to have some guidance from you guys. So next year, I hope to see a little more input from the public. Thanks.
Mr. Schwartz?
Yeah, somebody mentioned that to me, Bob, and I handed him a blank piece of paper and a pen. And I said, go ahead, give me your ideas. They didn't take it, so I think 25 years ago, they had a form of almost like a mini doge. They had a committee of guys that went through the budget. They looked at every piece of equipment, and they tried to find a way to do it more efficiently. And then they brought that information to the assembly. And I mentioned that to these guys, too. Hey, you're retired. Why don't you go through it? Get you, and I got three others. And you go through that whole budget, and you figure it out, talk to Jody, and then come to us. And every one of them turned their back and walked away. As soon as it was dressed in overalls and looked like work and time, it was over. So if you know who I'm talking to out there, take it as a challenge, with all due respect.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, with that, would the clerk please call the roll on Ordinance 2026-09?
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Meucci?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton-Greger?
Yes.
Okay. Next fiscal year's budget passed 7-0 on its second reading, and there's one more reading on the budget. I'm going to move on now to new business. Under new business, we have a number of items. The first item under new business is Ordinance 2026-10, an ordinance amending Section 4.28.120 of the Petersburg Municipal Code to increase the amount of single purchase sales tax for a cap from $1,200 to $5,000, and directing that the proposed amendment be submitted to the qualified voters of the borough. This is the first reading. If approved, Ordinance 2026-10 would increase the maximum single purchase amount subject to the borough sales tax from $1,200 to $5,000 and submit the change to the borough voters at the October 6, 2026 regular election. The increase would raise the maximum sales tax on a single transaction from $72 to $300, modernize a cap that has changed only once since 1959, and help generate additional revenue to support essential borough services, including the Petersburg School District, while still remaining the lowest tax cap in Southeast Alaska. Do I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2026-10 on this first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Member Stanton Gregor, second by Member Mucci. Discussion. Member Stanton Gregor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, as I spoke to today earlier on the radio, I had requested this be put before the assembly, and hopefully to, if we approve this, to put it before the voters in October. Back up a little bit, as I mentioned earlier today on the radio, I was reading about Juneau and their massive fiscal crisis they're facing, where they're not deciding if they should close schools or pools, but which ones. It is not being dramatic or anything like that. It is that bad. And I thought of this. It was on the ballot 2 years ago. I would like the voters an opportunity to weigh in on this, because by raising the tax cap, as you said in the intro, it would still be the lowest in all of Southeast. And it would do, excuse me, it would capture in particular so many visitor dollars. We are increasingly becoming a visitor-focused economy, which is great. I'm glad people love our town, as evidenced by this last Mayfest weekend. It was lovely. So good seeing so many faces. Many big-ticket items are spent during that time, and leaving uncaptured dollars, especially from our out-of-town and out-of-state visitors, on the table seems like low-hanging fruit we should grab onto. So I look forward to hearing from all the assembly members, but I hope we can approve this and get it before the voters in October. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Other comments? Member Valentine.
Thank you. I'm definitely in agreement towards this, especially since I work in the tourism industry and I can see where this really comes from. And just to note for people listening at home, I'll read off quickly where Petersburg and the other boroughs kind of lie. So like the sales tax cap around Southeast, Haines is at 10,000, Juneau's at 15,000, Cake has none, Ketchikan at 2,000, Sitka at 12,000, Skagway has none, Wrangell at 5,000, Craig at 5,000, Gustavus at none, Pelican at none, and Petersburg at 1,200. So it seems as though we should be definitely coming up, and I feel as though this is a reasonable ask. It's comparable to what our sister town is doing, Wrangell. And the next reading is when the public can weigh in, so definitely come in and share your opinion on this. And yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Member Newman.
Yes, I have a question for the finance director. Didn't this vote on this last fall?
Two falls ago.
So how many times has this come before the voters and it's failed? Just the one time? Because I thought it came up a few years ago previous to that.
No, I can't remember. It failed by about 5 votes 2 years ago, and I believe we brought it up a while, maybe 10 years ago, but I would have to get back to you on that.
Both times was the cap raising it from 1,200 to 5,000?
No, I think it might have been 3,000 last time, or the 2 times ago.
Oh, like several years ago.
Yeah, and you know, when we... this last time, 2 years ago, Wrangell still had a $3,000 cap, and right after it failed for us, their assembly went in and just approved it to $5,000 because they don't need a vote of the public to change exemptions like we do.
Number slightly less than that would be more acceptable to the voting public.
Well, and another thing to think about, too, Wrangell's is 5,000 now, but they also have 7% sales tax, whereas we have a 6%. So, and some of these other communities have a larger sales tax as well. So,
Member Valentine.
Thank you. I've thought about this too a lot, especially when I'm a younger assembly member up here. And then when I come in and seeing that there's rates 20 years older than me, and then nothing has been done. Now it's on this guy that's sitting up here today, right, to be that guy. So I always like kind of like incremental steps into the right direction. I kind of thought the same thing. I've talked to Jody about this before, where I thought maybe we should start lower, get up to wherever. However, I think at this point, getting to 5,000, probably just staying there is probably the good idea. And I think 5,000 overall, all around, is just going to be probably what we'll probably hang out at. Because if we raise it to 3,000, probably in another year or two, we'll ask again. But maybe if we stay at 5,000, we might be able to just stay there. So at least that would be the hope, at least in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Schwartz?
Well, it's nice to think about this falling just on visitors, but you know, thinking about businesses, the amount of money I've spent at Pittston Rudder, or I just ordered $80,000 worth of engines from Napa. So it does fall on businesses as well. And the local businesses will generate probably quite a bit more money than the visitors from out of town. I'll still vote for it. Right? I mean, to put it on the ballot. But I just had to mention that part. You know, it's not going to come from 3 months of tourists. The main income is going to come from hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of business and purchases in town. You'll probably have an $80,000 fuel bill. And if, I know the Saners have huge fuel bills. So the visitor thing will be like a little bump. The main businesses in town will generate money from this. I mean, for the borough. And that being said, I'll shut up.
Member Mucci?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can somebody explain to me the sixth whereas, talking about the exempted local sales tax due to... Can I just get some clarification in that?
Sure. So every month when businesses file sales tax, they tell us what category their exemptions are in. So we keep track of that. And last year, $25 million of sales was exempted because of the sales tax cap. And if we didn't have a sales tax cap, the borough would generate an additional $1.5 million a year. Anyway, so, and then what it says is that over $6.3 million were from travel, charter, guides, lodges, hotels, B&B sales. That's the whereas you're looking at, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
And so just for clarification, so if we put this on the ballot and it passes, then based on calendar year 2025, we'd see an additional $25 million of revenues.
If there was no sales tax cap, if we decided, like other communities, not to go to 5,000 and just say, hey, like down south in Seattle, there isn't a cap. You just pay sales tax on everything that you spend. It would be at $1.5 million.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Other questions for the finance director? Okay. With that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stan Greger?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes. Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes. 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 Yes.
Member Newman?
No.
Okay. That?
We're good.
All right. And that passes the first reading 6-1 with Member Newman opposing. I'll move on to the second item here, Ordinance 2026-11, an ordinance updating Chapter 14.8 of the Municipal Code entitled Sewer Utility. This is the first reading. If approved, Ordinance 2026-11 would update sewer utility service rates for fiscal year 2027 through fiscal year 2030 based on the annual rate review, reflecting higher projected operating costs and planned capital needs. The changes amend Section 14.08.320A of the Municipal Code to establish updated service charges and commodity rates to support long-term financial sustainability of the sewer utility. A member from Assistant Director Public, our Assistant Public Director Rummel is attached to this agenda item. Do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2026-11?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Member Mucci, second by Member Valentine. Discussion with that, I'm going to ask, I think we have Mr. Rummel's back here, our Assistant Utility Director, if you want to give an overview, particularly what the projects we're talking about and why in the future, if you would, please.
Yes, thank you. So we've all seen the Pump Station 4 project that's been going on at Hungry Point. We are already applying for money for Pump Station 3, which is a state revolving fund, which is something we will need to pay back. We also have an outfall repair that we have going on currently right now. We also have, due to the EPA tighter restrictions, we have a disinfection plant that we have to install and also a pretreatment to keep up with the EPA standards. So these are, it's kind of coming at us from two sides. We have aging infrastructure that we need to keep up on and repair, along with stricter regulations from the EPA with our wastewater. So we're kind of getting hit by two sides here.
Thank you. Questions from the assembly? Member Martin?
Just a comment. I had a horrifying yet fascinating tour of the sewer treatment plant a few months ago. And there's nothing luxurious going on out there. It looks a lot like it did when I was first learned to ride a motorcycle on that road, Rob's backyard here. There, as everybody probably knows, there are systems running on backup pumps because the main pump needs to be serviced, and there's no backup after that. And you're not really saving any money at that point by not doing the repairs that you need. So I'm support of this.
Member Stanton Gregor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Sorry, I'm lagging a little bit here. I'll definitely be voting yes on this. We look at it from not a percentage lens, but from a dollars and cents lens. Mr. Manager, as always, correct me if I'm missing, or Director Hagerman, or whoever can chime in on it. You know, the average cost to the average customer would be around $12 more a month to get these covered. If that's inaccurate, somebody please line me out.
That's correct.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rummels. That said, I don't like my rates going up on anything, no one does. But in terms of wastewater, not to be simple-minded, I appreciate that we have a high-functioning utility, and that when my water goes down the drain, it goes to where it's supposed to go and system functions well. I appreciate the efforts going into it. I know a lot of these financial burdens are being put on us from the state and federal sources. So I think we owe it to the ratepayers to approve this. Thank you.
Member Mucci?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Please bear with me here. I'm trying to sort this out. You know, so last week or 2 weeks ago, we had a presentation by Whitworth or whatever the name of the company was about the rate study and this, that, and the other. And, you know, we were looking at a 25% rate increase in 2026, which we're at right now. And then we were looking, and they were suggesting a 20% increase in fiscal year 27. In a fiscal year 28, it was 15%. In 2029, it was 7. 2030, it was 7. And 2031, it was going to be 4.5%. So, and when I look at the proposed ordinance that we're talking about, and I talked with Director Morrell this afternoon, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around this. This ordinance that we're looking at, it's going for a 20% increase in fiscal year 27, but it's not raising the rates in 28, 29, or 30. It's just adjusting the rates based on an ordinance that was passed in 2025 to adjust the rates in 28, 29, and 30.
And I'm, that's where I want to start with this. I'm trying to sort it out. It doesn't make sense to me, so I'm just trying to understand it.
Yeah, so the rate you're seeing right now, we are simply, we're taking this year by year. Because at this time last year, we didn't know about the disinfection or the pretreatment. This is all new from, you know, so we're getting hit with new things from the EPA ever since, even since last year. So we're taking this year by year. What you're looking at there is the recommended rate increase for 27. And what, and the rest of that is the adjustments from the rate increase of 27 that then fluctuates the rates in 28, 29, and 30. I also put together today, after your guys' discussion, a rate study that shows what Waterworth recommends. Now, Waterworth, that's, they recommend, they show us an, a forecast. They don't put it in stone. They just, they make recommendations to us. And we've got some copies of that. And if you look at, give it a chance to look at it, the rate study that is presented with the 20% increase in 27, 10% in 28, which is forecasted out through the budget that was already passed, the 10%. And then you look at the 20% rate increase this year, 15%, 7%, and 7% that was forecasted by Waterworth. At the end of the day, it's off by 1%. So we're following the same forecast, but we're essentially, we didn't, we're not making those absolute changes to it yet because we don't know what's coming. Even more, we know what's coming already, but we can't clearly we can't forecast as well as we would like to.
Through the mayor, changes.
Can I jump in,
Thomas and or Aaron? Which one? Does this include the potential for 8 million?
Catches? Yes.
Does it include any future grants that we haven't got yet? I would assume no. Okay. So for the assembly's benefit, we received an earmark for $8 million. That sounds like that's included in the study. The estimate, and again, it's just an estimate at this point, is somewhere between 12 and 15 to do all the work the EPA has asked us to do. We're going to go back and ask for more money from our federal folks, but we need to get the $8 million and get it spent, which is the first part of it is all the engineering that has to happen. It'll give us a better idea. Is it 12? Is it 13, is it 15? So it's going to be really difficult, as Thomas said, to nail this down as far as exactly what these rate increases are going to be until we have a better idea what it's what we're going to be cost us to build these plant improvements that are going to be that are required at this point. So,
but, for the benefit of the public here and the assembly, somewhat explain what the what. We're required to do in the changes, if you will, please.
As I'll jump in and try, so you're going to have, you have to correct me, okay? So for years, we used what was called a mixing zone. So our wastewater came through the plant, solids were screened, and then the leftover liquids were pushed out into Frederick Sound, into an area where it mixed with tides and everything else and dissipated. EPA has decided that those mixing zones need to be a lot, we can't use them as, like we were in the past. So they're asking that we do pretreatment as well as potentially using chlorine on our, what comes out of the wastewater plant. That's where the studies come in. We don't know exactly what they're going to request us to do. We just know that what they want to see is stuff coming out of our wastewater plant that is a lot less, not to say toxic, but a lot less dirty than what it currently is. Guys, can you say it better than that?
No, I can't say anything better than that, Steve. But one thing I would add, as Steve mentioned, that we have to add chlorine to the wastewater coming into the plant, but we're not allowed to discharge chlorine, so we then need to remove it, and that's part of the disinfection process. Anything deeper than that, I would have to refer to Justin Haley, our wastewater supervisor.
Member Mucci?
Yeah, thank you. I'm not sure really where I'm going with this, but so this rate increase that we're looking at for this 20% rate increase for 2027 is for our known costs in the next fiscal year, or is this putting money aside for future projects?
If you recall the Waterworth presentation at the last meeting where he had the graph, and, you know, we had our operating expenses and our capital projects. We had our revenues from the ratepayers and our grants and our loans and that sort of thing. And across those, the bar graphs and the charts, there's two dotted lines. There was the red one for the operating threshold, which our borough code requires us to stay above our operating threshold. And then there was a black dotted line, which was our cash position. And the intention on these charts that was presented to you is that we always want to keep our cash position above our operating threshold. And so this proposed rate increase will allow us to stay above the operating threshold at a respectable level that should bring us into the future safely.
Mucci?
Okay, I can accept that explanation, but I know there was some discussion at the assembly during this go-around the last time about possibly reducing the 2027 increase and making our cash reserves a little less, but I see we're not headed that way. But when I'm looking at this new rate that we were just handed, it looks like in fiscal year 2028, it's a 15% increase as opposed to the 10% increase that's on the ordinance that we're looking at. So is the ordinance that we're talking about now, does that need to be changed in fiscal year 2028 to 15%? Or I don't understand the difference between the sheet that we just got that says 15% in 2028 and the ordinance that we're voting on that says 10% in 2028.
Well, as I alluded to earlier, the Waterworth, the one with the 20%, 15%, 7%, 7%, that was a direct record. That was the forecast which Waterworth brought up here. And it's an example. So we can like I was saying before, it balances out. When you get to your fiscal year 2030, we're balanced out. But 20% this year, 10% next year, 10% in 29, 10% in 30 keeps us at a steady rate increase rather than a 20, a 15, and then a 7 and a 7. So it's really a choice on the assembly on which route you would like to go. We went with the original 20% increase, 10%, 10%, because that's what was already in the ordinance. So we were just changing fiscal year 27 and adjusting the rates from there on. But both paths get us to the same place.
I could too. What's in the ordinance is what's being asked of the assembly, so not what was handed around. So that's what we're asking. Going much beyond 2028 is probably, it's guesswork that doesn't really matter that much. I hate to say it that way, because we don't know what EPA is going to ask us to fully do, and we don't know what those costs are going to be.
Sure.
So, I mean, I would, you know, what's most important is the next couple, 3 years while we wait to get through this project and get through the studies that EPS is going to require. And out of that's going to come much more detailed costs that we can then put back in the rate study software and say, all right, what does that say? What changed, what didn't, and what is that doing to rates? That also gives us a chance to go back to Senator Murkowski and Representative Begich and ask them for more money. Because I think we're going to have to do that regardless. But we don't know how much to ask for right now, and that's a problem. And that impacts these rate studies, you know, that Thomas is pointing out. I mean, Waterworth did their study, and, you know, they're not going to count on any extra money coming in that we don't have in our hands yet. The ordinance putting forward is, you know, we're really focused on the next 2-3 years, and then we'll hopefully have a better, clearer answer from an engineer that tells us this is what we have to do and this is what it's going to cost. I'm not sure we can be more accurate than that right now.
I have two questions in for you. One is, are we the only ones being affected, or are there other municipalities in Alaska affected? Maybe
the first question. Carl, if you're listening, correct me. I think there's 9 other communities, or a total of 9 communities that are affected by this, including Wrangell, Ketchikan, and even Anchorage. And I think Anchorage's bill, the last time somebody talked about it, was $2 billion to do the changes that they needed to do. He's not jumping in, so I must have gotten close.
Well, oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I through the mayor. Yes, I think you're correct, Steve. There's 9 other communities that were affected by the primary or secondary treatment waiver issue, and that issue is an enormous cost to every community, with Anchorage being the largest community affected. Their project to properly disinfect their effluent, the last I heard a couple years ago, had crested $2 billion. That's with a B. It's an enormous cost, and unfortunately, the state and the federal government haven't rushed to help any community. It's fantastic that Senator Murkowski did provide some congressionally directed spending towards that project for Petersburg, and has done so in other Southeast Alaskan communities, but the cost is still very high to the wastewater department and its ratepayers.
Thank you. Other questions? Seeing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Meachie?
Yes. Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Thank you. And that passes 7-0 on the first reading.